The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
It is an honor, of course, to be with you this week as we celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day, as we speak truth about our nation's history. Since 1934, every October, the United States has recognized the voyage of the European explorers who first landed on the shores of the Americas. But that is not the whole story. That has never been the whole story. Those explorers ushered in a wave of devastation for tribal nations, perpetrating violence, stealing land, and spreading disease. We must not shy away from this shameful past.
Happy Columbus Day, everyone. No wonder she's plummeting in the polls. Our shameful past. This is, well, it's not Columbus Day, I guess, in her mind. Indigenous Peoples Day. She's there to give us an uplifting, hopeful message about how terrible our history is. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this good Monday morning or afternoon or evening, depending upon when you listen to the program and where your time zone is. You can get to the live video stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. I mean, just think about, for a moment, think about how warped their thinking is. It was wrong for Columbus and the other Europeans to ever set foot in the United States, or what became the United States of America. They crossed the border and came into the country. And they, I mean, in her mind, that's shameful. And then today, the doors are wide open to anyone from all over the world. Venezuelan gangs. That's right, murderers, rapists, just bring them on in. What was it she said there? I mean, that, what she said, her Columbus Day message, it perfectly applies to what we're now witnessing in the United States. All these foreign invaders that are bringing in disease and devastation, they've taken over properties in Aurora, Colorado, and you've got talking heads that are defending the gangs. Well, because they're not taking over a lot of apartment complexes, just a few. Okay, that's okay then. We'll get to the clips. It's unbelievable. 20 million illegals just pouring into the country. And these people, for Donald Trump to criticize that, they go on and on about how negative his message is. Well, listen to what she just said right there. We can't deny our shameful past, our shameful history. Look at all of the problems that whites have introduced to North America. The Europeans, that's really what it's getting at. Let's go after the white people. Let's go after the Europeans. Let's go after the history. Let's wildly exaggerate all of these atrocities that happened 500-600 years ago. And then when there's atrocities happening today, well, let's just downplay that, Martha Raddatz says. Let's make Joe Scarborough, for his part, same thing this morning. It's been proven that crime statistics are lower among the illegals than they are among the citizens. No, because every one of them has committed a crime. Every single one is guilty. They haven't come into the country obeying and respecting the laws to begin with. I mean, just leave aside all the rapes and murders and drug trafficking and sex trafficking that they bring in with so many of them. Just the fact that they're here illegally is a crime. I mean, it used to be. What, as I say, what a warped way to view your own history, to view today, our modern era, what we're living through today. It's all propped up on lies and deception. It's all they have. Listen to this exchange. This is J.D. Vance, by the way, was on quite a roll over the weekend. He's a smart guy. I think Trump picked the right running mate. Remember what they said when he picked Vance? Oh, that's a big mistake. That's a terrible decision. He's a terrible pick. Listen to this with ABC's Martha Raddatz, clip 3.
The incidents were limited to a handful of apartment complexes, and the mayor said our dedicated police officers have acted on those concerns. A handful of problems.
Only, Martha, do you hear yourself? Only a handful of apartment complexes in America were taken over by Venezuelan gangs, and Donald Trump is the problem and not Kamala Harris's open border. Americans are so fed up with what's going on, and they have every right to be. You seem to be more focused with nitpicking everything that Donald Trump has said rather than acknowledging that apartment complexes in the United States of America are being taken over by violent gangs.
Do you hear yourself? He says. Do you hear what you're saying? Only a handful of apartment complexes? It's not that big of a deal. It's just a handful. Just what nation on earth invites the rest of the world in and then says, fine, in certain sectors of our society, you can just take over apartment complexes. They should be sending the military to Aurora. But no, they're inviting military-like gangs from all over the world. These are the dear leader's foot soldiers, so many of them. It's all by design. It was established from the get-go of this fake administration. I mean, Obama laid the groundwork for it in his first two terms. But just look at what Joe Biden did with Kamala, by the way. The so-called border czar. From the get-go, J.D. goes on to explain, clip 4.
Kamala Harris, 94 executive orders that undid Donald Trump's successful border policies. We knew this stuff would happen.
They
bragged about opening the border, and now we have the consequences, and we're living with it. We can do so much better, but frankly, we're not going to do better, Martha, unless Donald Trump calls this stuff out. I'm glad that he did.
No one else will. They were lamenting the fact on Morning Meltdown today that, well, when I visited Pennsylvania, one of the commentators says, I saw, you know, all these billboards and I saw all these commercials for Donald Trump where he was talking about illegal immigration. And it's as if right on cue, there goes Joe Scarborough defending the illegal immigrants, of course. It is becoming Trump's right. It, more so even than inflation, it seems. Inviting 20 million into your country. This, again, going back to J.D. Vance, this is a separate interview with the New York Times. Listen to him as, here's a New York Times, the party line, you know, the talking points on the radical agenda is, hey, we need millions and millions of illegals because they're just coming in to do jobs that most Americans are unwilling to do. And listen to how, this is a longer clip, but it's important to get all the context. I mean, listen to how J.D. Vance just destroys this woman's argument. This is clip 22.
About a third of the construction workforce in this country is Hispanic. Of those, a large proportion are undocumented. So how do you propose to build all the housing necessary that we need in this country by removing all the people who are working in construction?
Well, I think it's a fair question because we know that back in the 1960s, when we had very low levels of illegal immigration, Americans didn't buy houses, didn't build houses. But of course they did. And I'm being sarcastic, of course, in service of a point, Lulu, the assumption that because a large number of home builders now are using undocumented labor, that that's the only way to build homes. I think, again,
the country is much bigger.
Fundamental.
The need is much bigger. I mean, I'm not arguing in favor of illegal immigration. I'm asking how you would deal with the knock-on effect of your proposal to remove millions of people who work in a critical part of the economy.
Well, I think that what you would do is you would take, let's say, for example, the 7 million prime age men who have dropped out of the labor force, and you have a smaller number of women, but still millions of women prime age who have dropped out of the labor force. You absolutely could reengage folks into the American labor market. This is, I think,
to work in construction.
Of course, you could.
I mean, the unemployment rate is 4.1%. Most people who
unemployment rate, Lulu, this is important.
But most people who don't work can't work in the regular economy. They're in the military. Their parents. They're sick. They're old. They might not want to work in construction.
The unemployment rate does not count labor force participation dropouts. And again, this is one of the really deranged things that I think illegal immigration does to our society, is it gets us in a mindset of saying we can only build houses with illegal immigrants when we have 7 million, just men, not even women, just men who have completely dropped out of the labor force. People say, well, Americans won't do those jobs. Americans won't do those jobs for below the table wages. They won't do those jobs for non-living wages, but people will do those jobs. They will just do those jobs at certain wages. And think about this from the perspective of an American company, okay? I want them to go searching in their own country for their own citizens. Sometimes people who may be struggling with addiction or trauma, get them re-engaged in American society. We cannot have an entire American business community that is giving up on American workers and then importing millions of illegal laborers. That is what we have thanks to Kamala Harris's border policies. I think it's one of the biggest drivers of inequality. It's one of the biggest reasons why we have millions of people who have dropped out of the labor force. Why try to re-engage an American citizen in a good job if you can just import somebody from Central America who's going to work under the table for poverty wages? It is a disgrace, and it has led to the evisceration of the American middle class.
And that's the goal. The dear leader wants to destroy the middle class. That's the way every communist regime stays in power. Just make everybody poor and get them dependent on the big nanny state. Her argument, if you listen to that, it's that we need illegal labor. You know, the ones in the construction industry that contractors can pay under the table. Really cheap wages. And then you have just people dropping out of the workforce by the millions, as he said. It's a common sense message that he's selling. Well, let's deport them. You've got a housing shortage as it is. So just getting rid of them, that helps offset the shortage in housing. And then offer a fair wage to American citizens. And yes, they will. They will turn out. They will come back into the labor force. That's J.D. Vance with a common sense message. You know, the Democrat Party fancies itself as, well, we're for the unions, we're for the workers. No, it's actually the exact opposite. That's why workers are turning to the working class. They're turning to Donald Trump in droves. Because the illegals are coming in and they're stealing the jobs. And yeah, a construction contractor, I'm sure it's tempting when you can get someone for so cheap. And in these communities like Springfield, Ohio, where you have a lot of whites dropping out of the labor force, getting addicted to drugs and everything else, and then they see waves of Haitians coming in, taking all the jobs and causing a lot of trouble too. Is that the way you build a nation? Of course it isn't. Of course it isn't. But you see the warped mindset. It's just hate America. No wonder America First is resonating with a lot of people. You see the twisted and warped sense of thinking with respect to our history. We have a shameful past. Happy Columbus Day. And what about the future? Well, listen, if you're suffering and struggling, if you're a white family, if you're just white trash in Springfield, we don't care about you. Look, we've got tens of thousands of Haitians coming in. They'll work the factories. Is this New York Times journalist? Really? Can she not understand that there's whites that would happily take factory jobs if it was a fair wage? This is what Donald Trump has campaigned on since 2015 and 16. We want those factories to stay in the United States. We don't want the jobs taken up by illegals, paid under the table so that it can be really cheap. We want Americans working for American companies. Now, that's about the way most nations in the world reason, the leadership, I mean, even in this world that's gone mad, even in this world that's gone off the rails. Well, I say most. There's plenty of communist nations that have had this happen exactly the way it's happening right now in the United States. Think of the reasoning. Listen, there's only a handful of apartments that have been taken over by Venezuelan gangs. Only a handful. She repeated it. She thought that this was like, she was making a winning argument, Raddatz. The mayor says it's only a handful. Only a handful. Do you hear yourself? Listen to Donald Trump with Maria Bartiromo for 14.
And I think the border is maybe a bigger deal than even inflation. Inflation is a massive word. The bad economy is massive. The inflation made the economy bad. It made it impossible for people. But I almost think that when they see millions of people coming into our country, 13,099 murderers, many of them murdered more than one person. When they see that, I actually think that I think the border is a bigger issue than even the economy. Those are the two big issues.
It's had such an impact, the open border.
And the other issue that's really big, I think, is how badly they've done with North Carolina, parts of Georgia. When you look at what's happened in Florida, we'll see what's happening there.
From the beginning, he was saying Venezuelan and some of these other countries, they're emptying out their prisons. And he's turned out to be right yet again. They're not sending their best. They're sending murderers. Never mind what Scarborough says. And no, there's no stats to back it up, by the way. Just that constant refrain. Well, it's actually lower than it is for normal citizens, the crime statistics. So let them all in. Well, I guess it's just a handful of crime then. It's a handful. People look at the big cities and they see what's happening. They see the scourge of homelessness and drug addiction, and then now crime. These gangs going through the streets of New York or Chicago, or where, clashing with homegrown gangs, taking over just a handful of apartment complexes in the United States. And, of course, future voters for Democrats, destroying the cities, triggering a housing crisis. So much going on, so much illegal activity going on in the shadows with drug and sex trafficking. So much filth just pouring across the border. And as I say, all of them recruits to be the dear leader's foot soldiers and the Democrat Party's base. Listen to Secretary Mayorkas, as he just dismisses these reports of registering illegals to vote. Clip 10.
65% of Trump voters believe the Biden administration is trying to intentionally increase the number of migrants at the border. And among the people who do believe that, 75% of them say it's because the administration wants them to vote. And the Speaker of the House just told us that he thinks non-citizens are going to vote, even though this is already illegal under established law. What mechanisms can you tell the public about that exist to prevent this from happening?
So what a powerful example of disinformation. There is no facts underlying these assertions. They are extremely damaging. It causes people to lose confidence in the integrity of the election system. And we need people in positions of authority to actually communicate accurate information to the voting public. The numbers that we are experiencing now at the border are actually lower than they were at this time of year in 2019. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just over the last 3 years, but well before them in the pre-COVID times. And the notion that we in law enforcement have sought to intentionally allow individuals to cross the border illegally mm-hmm. for the purpose of voting is preposterous. And everyone should condemn that rhetoric. Everyone, regardless of party affiliation.
I wonder if he'd be able to explain why Biden's DOJ is suing the state of Alabama and Virginia for removing non-citizens from the voter rolls. And so here comes Joe Obama's DOJ. How dare you? How dare you clean up those voter rolls? Those are potential votes we can harvest. That's right. What did he say at the start? Why, this is just a perfect example of disinformation. These are the chief spreaders of disinformation. On the border, the voter rolls, all of it. And people are waking up to it. They see it. Yeah, I was telling my wife over the weekend, I saw 3, 4, 5 posts on social media, black people that are saying to Barack Obama, I mean, he's the anointed one, right? He's the Democrat messiah. Well, there's a lot of people that aren't very happy with Obama. People from the black community, these posts saying, hey, don't come and lecture black men. If they don't want to vote for Kamala, that's their right. That's their right as an American. That was in the Sky News clip as well. I think that's clip 20.
We're seeing the tone change, watching Barack Obama chastise black men for not supporting Kamala Harris because they're not feeling a woman. That is not the same tone of joy that we saw just a few weeks ago, a few months ago at the DNC. So I think that this polling is starting to spook people within the campaign, and it is what we're seeing on the ground. We've only been in Georgia for one day, but we've seen, we've been in North Carolina and Arizona. The enthusiasm levels are down, and that's critical in a non-compulsory voting system.
Those are swing states. Sky News actually doing some reporting on the ground and telling the truth. The enthusiasm for Kamala, the joy and the vibes, it's gone. And so now you have angry Obama showing up, lecturing the black men. You better vote for Kamala, otherwise you're a misogynist. You better vote for Kamala. There might even be a tinge of racism in there if you don't. The tone is changing. The joy, the vibes are gone. They're reading. Forget about the internal polls. I'll tell you about the polls that we all see reported on. It's not so good for Kamala and company. You think about, again, we've made the point about just how bad of a candidate that she was in 2019. She dropped out of the race first. She was so dreadfully unpopular. And then after the coup, after they shove aside the fake president, here she comes. And of course, right away, everyone, the whole regime said, she's wildly popular. I haven't seen this kind of enthusiasm since Obama in 2008. Then she picks Tim Walz, you know, the pheasant hunter. He's the best pick she could have possibly chosen. He's just a moderate Midwesterner. No, actually, no. Then we talked about, you know, every bump that President Trump has gotten after the assassination attempts, after the debates, leaving aside the day after the one with Kamala, where again, they tried to, she crushed it. Same thing with the DNC. Oh, it was the vibes, the joy. They've manufactured a little bump in the polls here and there because of their lies. But every time as the dust settles, well, look what's happening now. Look at these poll results from the regime media in most of these cases from over the weekend, clip one.
All right, so party ID nationally. You go to October, November of 2016, Democrats had a 3-point advantage. You go 4 years ago, Democrats had a 6-point advantage. Look at where we are today, Manu. Republicans with a 1-point advantage. A very different picture, very much mirroring what we see in the party registration numbers in those key battleground states, and Pennsylvania in particular. Absolutely, and you know the GOP leads by a point in party identification right now. The average when the Republican Party loses is the Democrats ahead by 8. When the Republican Party wins, the average party ID advantage for Democrats is 3. Republicans right now, Manu, are doing even better than the average when they win.
Vice President Kamala Harris had a 5-point lead in our last poll taken a month ago, right after the debate. That lead has all but evaporated, Willie. Take a look at this new head-to-head matchup. 48% to 48%. That is what we call a deadlocked race. It underscores what we all know, that this is tight, that the country is sharply divided. One of the other big headlines here, people are viewing the Trump presidency more favorably than the Biden presidency. Why is that significant? We've seen the vice president get pressed repeatedly on what she would do differently than President Biden, and she's really struggled with that answer. We have new reporting that will roll out on the show this morning, Willie, taking us inside the Harris campaign, where there are discussions about changing her answer.
It was a rough week. I mean, her faves are down. They're struggling with, I mean, the front page of the New York Times this morning, Democrats struggling with African-American voters, particularly African-American men. This gender gap issue is real. It's a real problem. And you see the Democrats reacting to it. And I think what they are now filing in October, the election, coming to realize is that a lot of men think Democrats care more about dudes who want to become women than dudes who just want to be dudes. Well,
I mean, the bottom line is this. At this particular hour, if you believe the polling, Donald Trump's going to put up the best performance with black voters since Richard Nixon back in 1960. Not 68, since 1960. That's 64 years ago. Among Hispanic voters, Donald Trump's going to put up the best performance for Republicans since 2004 and George W. Bush.
That the message she's hearing from black men is, quote, Democrats take us for granted. Donald Trump talks to us directly. Are you concerned about black men voting for Trump or staying home?
Yes, I am concerned about black men staying home or voting for Trump.
That's one of the top chiefs right there for ballot harvesting, cheating. He's concerned. You heard some of the others talking about losing the black vote, losing the Latino vote. I mean, more since the 1960s? The tone definitely has changed. For the most part, you know, they're still, oh, it's a tight race, Meltdown said this morning. It's a tight race. It's a toss-up. 48%, 48%. If it's close, then you know Trump is comfortably ahead. And again, there's 3 weeks to go. Anything can happen. We're not pinning our hopes on an absolute in either case. But it's not looking so good internally with their own polls. This came out from Ezra Klein at the New York Times. Here's a bit of advice to help maintain your sanity over the next few weeks until Election Day. Just ignore the polls. Well, isn't that convenient? They love the polls when Trump is trailing. I mean, they're accurate. Now, you know, it's not looking so good. So just ignore it. Doesn't mean anything. If you read between the lines of the first, you know, 15, 20 minutes, the monologue on Morning Meltdown, I saw it again while I was exercising. If you read between the lines, then you can discern that they're prepping the audience for a Trump victory. And that's saying a lot when you see to the extent that they went to cheat 4 years ago. I mean, harvesting thousands, millions, probably, millions of votes. And they're just not too big to rig. That's what Trump was saying over the weekend in California. He was campaigning in California. Oh, did you hear about the possible assassination attempt out there? Probably not. Of course not. Because, you know, it's Trump. It's only the one in Arizona. There was a manhunt. And Trump had to get out of the scene while being interviewed. Okay, that in addition to the guy at the golf course and, of course, Crooks that day in Butler. So yesterday you've got this crazy who gets to within a quarter of a mile of Donald Trump, and he's carrying loaded weapons. And there's a lot of details about this story that don't really add up. We're only a few hours removed from it. But still, how is it not working its way into the opening monologue for the Meltdown people? I mean, they've got 7 or 8 people on the panel. Nobody brings it up. Nobody cares. Nobody talks about it. if a shooter got that close to the dear leader, it's wall-to-wall coverage. Forget about four attempted assassinations, if in fact yesterday was that. If there was one and the dear leader was the target, how different do you think the coverage would play out? Listen to this from, I think he's the sheriff in Riverside. There are some saying, by the way, that Trump, that 100,000 people turned out for that rally in California. He's got another rally planned for Madison Square Garden. He's going on Joe Rogan here pretty soon. He's campaigning, and he's campaigning in blue states. He still thinks New York is in play. New Jersey, Virginia, New Hampshire. We'll see. It's hard to believe it's 3 weeks away. But this is the Riverside sheriff on the Coachella, the possible Coachella assassination attempt, clip 18.
He approached the outside perimeter, gave all indications that he belonged there, that he was a participant that was allowed to get into VIP and to and a press corps, and so he was allowed through that outer perimeter. As he got to the inside perimeter, where deputies were conducting obviously a more thorough evaluation of the vehicles that were coming in, there were many irregularities that popped up. The deputy noticed that the interior of the vehicle was in quite disarray. The vehicle had an obviously fake license plate, and that prompted further investigation from our deputy into why the person was there and what he was doing. During that investigation, the deputy eventually found multiple passports with multiple names, multiple driver's license with different names. The vehicle was unregistered. And the license plate was what we in law enforcement would recognize as one that is homemade and indicative of a group of individuals that claim to be sovereign citizens. And the deputy assumes that he was part of that identifying group. So during the investigation, obviously those identification documents were found, in addition to a loaded handgun and a shotgun.
A loaded handgun and a shotgun, just right outside the Coachella rally. Now, the report's coming in today. He's a registered Republican. When he was arrested, he said, "I'm not an assassin." It's ridiculous. They get him on a gun charge, and then he's out on $5,000 bail the next day, today. How is this possible? You've got Venezuelan gangs taking over just a handful of apartment complexes in Colorado. And then this guy, he gets to within a quarter of a mile of Donald Trump. Again, loaded weapons. Loaded weapon in Arizona. Manhunt. In Butler, the guy got off 8 rounds. One of them hit Donald Trump. And then you've got the golf course. Just one hole away, just 400 yards away. Trump's coming up that hill. If they don't stumble upon the head of that rifle, the guy's probably going to get off another 7-8 rounds. The FBI, just so that you're settled, you're at ease over what happened yesterday, the FBI is on the scene, and they have assured you that this guy was not an assassin. He was not trying to kill Donald. Donald Trump was very safe yesterday, or I guess it was Saturday in Coachella. The New York Times has a piece on it. But if you're like a lot of people in the country, you probably haven't even heard about it. Real clear. It says here, U.S. Secret Service and FBI are downplaying the threat to former President Donald Trump posed by a man arrested outside a California rally Saturday night, despite assertions made by a local sheriff that his detention likely thwarted a third assassination attempt. So, you know, we're downplaying this. Never mind what the local sheriff says. Look at. I mean, we're the FBI. They know immediately he wasn't a threat. He just had loaded weapons. But if you want to persist and go into this further, he's a Republican. We know everything we need to know about him. We still don't know about Crooks. Okay, Ruth, about the same. Or that's been downplayed as well. They're slow walking that case right now, the DOJ. Crooks, of course, was taken out. And then his whole history on social media, that too was taken out. Blotted out, conveniently enough. And those, you know, in some cases, it's just we've got the agency at work, hard at work, but we just have so much evidence to go through. It's probably going to take a while to get through it. Or we just don't know. How can we know? In this case, they know right away. Not a threat. And he's definitely a Republican. Well, Liz Cheney's a Republican, and she hates Donald Trump. A lot of Republicans do. It says here, deputies working for the Riverside County Sheriff's Office arrested a man identified as Vim Miller and subsequently discovered a shotgun, loaded handgun, and high-capacity magazine in his car about a quarter of a mile from the entrance to Trump's campaign rally in Coachella. It says further on Sunday, Miller told local news outlets that he had no intentions of harming Trump, that he was a Trump caucus captain who received a special invitation to the Coachella Valley rally from the head. I guess there's pictures of this guy, the guy with all the loaded weapons, with Vivek and some other RFK. So who knows? I mean, and there's some kind of odd connections that this sheriff has. I don't know if he's telling the truth, but, you know, he's certainly right as a law enforcement official. He has the right to say, I think we may have foiled another assassination attempt. But in comes Chris Wray, rushing to the scene. No, nothing to see here. Don't even report on it. The Secret Service is there to assure you that Donald Trump is totally safe. The man has been shot. And these attempted assassinations, they've happened. What are we at? What is this, October? July, August, September, October. 3 months. 3 months. July 13th. Triggered it all. No pun intended. You've got one assassination attempt. You've got another assassination attempt. You've got a manhunt in Arizona. And now you've got a guy showing up with two loaded weapons at the Coachella rally in California. And the government agencies involved assure us that everybody's safe, Donald Trump in particular. And so you can carry right on with the Trump derangement proclamations telling the whole world how evil, how vile, how dangerous Donald Trump is, even as they assure the general public that he's totally, totally safe. Listen to the latest installment of TDS, clip 21.
There's also this subtext of violence in a lot of Trump's lies, especially as he gets more desperate. Other times he talks about the death penalty, for instance, for migrants who commit crimes.
Trump wants people to wake up every day and be terrified.
And if you look at Project 2025, it will be Jim Crow 2.0.
But I mean, look, I mean, we know that Donald Trump's a sick puppy, but let's put this in a larger context that Donald Trump is basically signaling that he's not going to do any of the things that other presidential campaigns are going to do. He's not going to release his medical records. He's not going to release any cognitive tests. He's not going to release his taxes. He's not going to release financial documents. This is Donald Trump thumbing his nose at all of the rules and all of the norms as he's done throughout his career.
They are telling you exactly what they're going to do. They're telling you we're going to institute a fascist regime.
He has made it very clear that his second presidency of Donald Trump would be one of retribution.
Donald Trump believes he will be immune for anything he does once he's in office. He will not respect the rulings of our courts. Donald Trump will ignore Congress. He will appoint people like Mike Flynn, for example, who just, 36 hours ago, Mike Flynn was at an event where he was asked whether or not the president's opponents should be executed. And he basically said, listen, yes, I'm going to unleash the gates of hell. These are the kinds of people that Donald Trump will be putting in place. The people that stopped him from his worst desires last time around won't serve again.
Like Mark Milley comes to mind, who, right. according to Bob Woodward's new book, War, called him a fascist. Would you go that far, to call him a
Look,
fascist?
Look, I have tremendous respect for General Milley, and I see no reason to disagree with that assessment.
Kamala Harris is releasing her health records today. Donald Trump has refused to do so. He's had, doctors sort of put together a piece of paper with a whole lot of BS on it about the man weighing 215 pounds, looking like Wally the Walrus. The New York Times, though, reports if he wins, Trump could enter the Oval Office with an array of potentially worrisome issues, medical experts say. Cardiac risk factors, possible after effects from the July assassination attempt, and the cognitive decline that naturally comes with an age, among other things. The man is old as dirt. He's the oldest man to ever run for president, and yet the country doesn't seem to care that he doesn't release his health records, that we have no idea what's going on in that little brain of his. Maybe he had brain worms.
Really concerned about cognitive ability now. They weren't so much 3 months ago. Kamala's out there really proud of the fact that she's released her medical records after 4 years of covering up for the fake president. The obvious mental decline that everyone saw. But they said, don't believe your eyes. Don't believe what you see. And the message continues. Don't believe what you see on the city, on the streets of America in Aurora, Colorado. Okay, if we get into it, or Springfield. It's just a handful of crimes. That's okay. And here they go. They spew the same thing every day. They actually referred to Donald Trump's dangerous rhetoric because he's speaking out against the illegal immigration. In Joe's mind, I mean, that's dangerous. Everything you heard there, that's not dangerous. That would certainly not inspire an assassin. He's been shot at. He barely survived an assassination attempt. They've happened multiple times just in the last 3 months. You look at their lawlessness. No wonder they're worried about retribution, because they're getting away with crimes. And Trump sees it. One of them in that montage there said that, you know, all of those people that restrained Trump, you know, in other words, the ones that stabbed him in the back in his first administration, Liz Cheney says they're not going to be there in the second administration. Well, obviously, yes, he's going to have a new crew. You know that, you see it already with just the difference between Mike Pence and J.D. Vance. It's quite an upgrade, I'd say. I don't want to get too political about this, but that's a pretty significant upgrade. Listen to MSNBC as it's panicking about the thought of what a Trump administration might look like. This is clip six.
But what jumped out as potentially the most alarming detail was that within the actual Trump campaign, the person whose name is being floated to be Trump's Attorney General of the United States to run the Justice Department is this guy.
We will go out and find the conspirators, not just in government, but in the media. Yes, we're going to come after the people in the media who lied about American citizens, who helped Joe Biden rig presidential elections. We're going to come after you. Whether it's criminally or civilly, we'll figure that out. But yeah, we're putting you all on notice.
That is Kash Patel, the former chief of staff to Trump's Secretary of Defense, a man who is apparently on the short list for attorney general if Donald Trump retakes office. Now, Trump has not been shy about his desire to weaponize the DOJ and use it to go after his enemies.
That last part is especially rich. Trump is not shy about his desire to weaponize the DOJ to go after his political enemies, says the woman who just can't contain her enthusiasm for 91 counts, 4 indictments, all of this lawfare. Trying to destroy Trump financially. Trying to destroy Trump every which way. Yeah, they are a little concerned about retribution. Okay, if you're guilty of lying, stealing, or rigging elections, cheating, we're going to go after you, says Kash Patel, if he were to be put in a position like the attorney general or whatever. He was the one, by the way, who was right side by side with Devin Nunes, who exposed the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. And the regime media, they were kicking and screaming and trying to redact things and blot out reports by Nunes. He had to fight every step of the way. And Kash Patel was there with him in that fight, exposing the truth, exposing Adam Schiff as a liar. They do fear the tables being turned. They do fear exposure, as we heard over the weekend here on campus. The thing that the devil fears the most is being exposed for all of his crimes. Yes, they want to maintain their grip on power. Yes, they do. But they've all been implicated in these crimes to some degree or another. Or they, at the very least, they've turned a blind eye to it. Look at all this filth that's being exposed, whether it's Epstein. I mean, Elon Musk is the one that said a lot of the billionaire donors, he mentioned names, Reid Hoffman, Bill Gates. He's naming names now, Elon. They fear Trump returning and releasing the Epstein client list. That's not me. That's what Elon Musk says. And then you add to that Sean Combs and all the people that went in and out of those freak out parties or whatever they were called. Oh, just regular customers on film, evidently, committing crimes, acts of pedophilia, or predatory behavior of some kind. It's really sickening stuff. It's Ezekiel 8, view through the hole in the wall kind of abominations. So much is being exposed. And I think a little righteous law enforcement would be a breath of fresh air. But this is what they fear. They fear that the tables are turning. And as I say, if you read between the lines close enough, you can see quite a few of them just resigned to the fact that Trump is coming back. They're preparing for life after another stunning victory for Donald Trump. Listen to this forecast from one among the regime, the Talking Heads, clip 9.
And you know me, I'm normally a voice of calm, and I'm here not as a voice of calm today. I think that what the vice president said, what Donald Trump has said, what members of the Republican Party have said, leads me to think there is a coming massive crisis that's going to occur on November 5th with the election, in which even if Kamala Harris wins the election and wins those battleground states, the Trump team is going to declare victory with J.D. Vance at his side, mm-hmm. and they will pressure courts, they will pressure state legislatures, they'll pressure state governors, and they'll pressure the United States Congress to throw out the popular vote and get this election through shenanigan.
They love to talk about would-haves and could-haves, what might happen. Unless it's a possible assassin from the campaign rally on Saturday. Had he gotten through security, he could have taken a shot at President Trump. No, come on now. There's no truth to that. He's not an assassin. He's a Republican. Let's just move on from that story. Here's a guy saying there's going to be chaos on November 5th, that Trump and his people will refuse the results of an election. If Trump wins, if it's too big to rig, we are about to see an overnight transformation in these people who will refuse the results of the election. You heard it here first. Well, probably not first, but... You know they're going to pivot. They're going to turn on a dime. Trump cheated. Trump had Putin. Or at the very least, Trump He deceived America with all of his lies. Speaking of elections, I loved this exchange between J.D. Vance and that New York Times reporter regarding the 2020 election. This is clip five.
And look, Senator, yes or no?
Okay.
Did Donald Trump lose the 2020 election?
Let me ask you a question. Is it okay that big technology companies censored the Hunter Biden laptop story, which independent analysis have said cost Donald Trump millions of votes?
Senator Vance, I'm going to ask you again. Did Donald Trump lose the 2020 election?
Did big technology companies censor a story that independent studies have suggested would have cost Trump millions of votes?
Senator Vance, I'm going to ask you again. Did Donald Trump lose the 2020 election?
And I've answered
election?
Your question with another question. You answer my question and I'll answer yours.
I love it. You answer my question. Did big tech censor the truth about Hunter? And were there some polls or surveys following the election in 2020 suggesting that 15-16% of those who voted for the fake president would have voted differently had they known? She doesn't have to answer the questions. And KJP has told us that. If you ask them the wrong question, that's misinformation. That's disinformation. You answer my question, and I'll answer yours. How about that? They can't do it. They cannot do it. These are chief propagandists, all of them. And in the case of J.D. Vance, as I said, he had a pretty good weekend. It's not like they're shying away. Can you believe the latest line? Kamala said it, I think, yesterday or Saturday, that Donald Trump is hiding. When I was exercising this morning, watching the monologue, I laughed out loud. He's hiding? No, he's everywhere. Now, he's focused. He's focused. He's not falling for the media tricks. I mean, in the case of J.D. Vance, he's there lecturing the New York Times reporter about immigration and illegals and the housing market and the construction industry and paying illegals under the table and getting Americans back into the workforce. It's brilliant. You answer my question, and then I'll answer yours. How about that one? Listen to Trump with Maria Bartiromo. This is clip 13.
So how are you feeling? We're just a few weeks away, what, 20 plus days away from the election? How do you feel about the race?
I feel great. We're leading in all swing states. We're leading mostly in nationals, I think. You know, I'm a believer in polls. Some of them are fake, like a lot of writers. But I'm a believer in polls, and we're leading in just about every swing state. I think we're leading now in every swing state. And she can't talk. There's something wrong with the candidate.
I don't think he's hiding away. She's only come out of hiding in the last 7 or 8 days. She was campaigning from the basement, just like the fake president did 4 years ago. And she came out, as you heard in one of our monologues, and it was a disaster. He's everywhere. He's working all the way through to November 5. And he's got a pretty good assistant in JD. Listen to clip 15.
I've worked 32 days in a row, and we have another 25, and I intend to work every one of them. I'm not going to take days off. Let's take a little vacation, everybody, right? We're running to save our country, so we're not going to be taking any vacation. We had such a day a little while ago in Butler, you saw that we had 101,000 people show up. 101,000 people. A tribute to Corey, the firefighter, and a tribute to a lot of things. And it was an amazing, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it.
There's never been anything like it. I have another article here. I've only got about a 30-second spot here, but it's from the American Thinker, and it's about someone that didn't really even believe in God until he witnessed so many of these events that we've been seeing, particularly the assassination attempt. Does God have a plan for Trump? I'll have to get into that on tomorrow's program. Does God have a plan? Well, think about that latest issue of the Trumpet magazine. Why is God protecting this man? This, together with America Under Attack, both of these pieces of literature, we offer free, without cost, without obligation. Just need to receive your mailing address and we'll get you a one-year subscription, a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet magazine and a free copy of the hardcover book, America Under Attack. That's all we have time for, unfortunately, on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.